Spirit Radio Podcasts.
It's time now for our weekly Life in 5 interview. Well, what's it all about? It's my first one back, actually, since coming back to Spirit Radio after maternity leave, so I'm really looking forward to it. But what we do is we get to talk to someone about their lives, you know, the ups, the downs, where they might have seen God working in their lives. And I'm excited that the first Life in 5 studio for me is with Archbishop Jude Thaddeus O'Culloch, who's the Papal Nuncio to Ireland. And we kind of put you on the spot this morning, Jude, didn't we? Because you came in to do another interview about the International Charity Bazaar, and my lovely producer Steve said, "Hey, do you want to do this?" And he said, "Yes."
Yes.
So that's
I
good.
Like challenges.
So this is off the cuff. You haven't really had much time to prepare, but that's probably the best way to do it. You reckon?
That's it. So it's spontaneous and it's honest.
Good. Right. So the first question for you, question number one, is your favorite Bible verse and why it's your favorite Bible verse.
Yes, my favorite Bible verse is "Jesus wept." It's the shortest verse in the Bible. In the Gospel of St. John, you know, when Christ was told that Lazarus was sick, he delayed. And then later on, he told his disciples, "Let us go, because Lazarus is sleeping." He knew he was dead already. And the two sisters of Lazarus were waiting for him, Martha and Mary. And when he came, he was told, "Our brother is dead. And if you were here, he wouldn't have died." And he said, "Martha, do you believe in me?" Martha said, "Yes, I believe. I know that you are the Son of God." And when Christ came to the tomb, he wept. It's very striking. Jesus, the Son of God, wept. There he was really human. And human not because of his own feelings, but his feelings went out to those who were suffering, who were in pain. They lost their only brother, who was a very strong support for both of them. And Christ and his disciples also lost a friend, because we are told that Lazarus wasn't just a friend of Christ. It was a friend of the disciples also. This collective friendship. So that verse tells us so many things. And also the human aspect of Christ, you know, being open to visit families, to visit people, and to relate to people, whether man or woman, young or old. And also it was a contact with the neighborhood, you know, the people of the area, because they were the ones who commented and said, "Look how he loves this man." And when Christ wept, he showed that he had a spirit of compassion, that he knew how to be, you know, to show empathy. He knew how to go out to others. So this is it. Christ wept.
I didn't actually know that was the shortest piece of scripture.
Yes.
So I've already learned something new.
Thank you.
Okay, your next question is, a time you've heard something clear from God.
Yes. You know, every human person can hear God. I repeat, every human person can. God speaks. God communicates to each and every one of us because we have an element of God in us. There's just a problem for some. There are so many voices that the voice of God is stifled. And some hear him, but they don't like what they hear. So they don't answer, or they don't respond, or they pretend as if they didn't hear. Or they could mistake also the voice of God for something else. And so, it's not just that I've heard him once or twice, but continuously. And I know he speaks, especially when I need to converse with him. I don't need to go into details because most of this, they are just personal realities. And also, I don't want to give the impression, you know, of being somebody special. No, but it's just that you and you, in each and every one of us, God speaks to us. It's just a question of finding time, just 5 minutes, 10 minutes, you know, just to remain still. And when the water settles, we see the contents.
I think I'll have to find some quiet time now this afternoon and take the earplugs out and listen.
Yes.
Where do you see God in everyday life? That's your third question.
I see God through people, through those whom I meet. Every person whom I meet has something good about God to tell me. And that is why when I meet people on the way, sometimes I give blessings even indiscriminately, even without their knowing that I'm blessing them. And I wish them well. Or somebody who is limping, you know, just like the other day, I saw this old man limping. I said, Lord, touch this man. Give him more strength. He's making an effort, Lord. Touch him. And he didn't know I prayed for him. I was in a car moving on, and he was walking. So people, whoever I meet, tells me something about God. And so I see God through people, especially also when I'm in need of, you know, sometimes, you know, I need some clear, you know, communication from God. I may even be speaking with someone without the person knowing that he's clarifying some issues for me. But we are just conversing on something different, you know.
That's a lovely way of putting it, I have to say. Okay, so who is a person who's had a big influence on you?
Ah, my parents. My parents, my father and my mother. My mother especially because, you know, just nature makes us closer to our mothers. But my father too. My father was a disciplinarian. And I like discipline. He instilled discipline into me. My father was a headmaster of a school. He was a lay missionary. You know, these Irish fathers. Now, I can tell you a little bit of the Ireland in me, you know. Although this is my first time in Ireland, but I saw many Irish people along the way. My father was called by some Irish, the Kiltingan fathers, you know, and the SMF fathers, to come up 1,200 kilometers away from home to join them, to be the headmaster of a school, St. Thomas's in Canoe. And he went up. There, he had to bring my mother also to join him, and they got married there. My father was the assistant of the parish priest also, because he would do the translation of his sermons on Sunday into our own language. And so I was watching this man, my dad, you know, the way he communicated the word of God, you know, whatever he heard from the father, he had to interpret it, you know. Because it's not just a translation, but he had to interpret it. Although I would always be looking at the Irish priest speaking in English, although I didn't understand what he was saying, but I would admire in him. I think my vocation to the priesthood began there. I was about 6, 7, 8. And so my mother, what did I learn from her? My mother was always telling me stories and communicating to me, although I didn't understand everything when I was little. I grew up being close to her. We would always discuss issues. So from two of them, I learned a lot. And I can add this. My father was the first to correct my sermons.
He gave you the feedback.
Exactly, because, you know, he was used to it. You know, he could preach because he was used to it. You know, he was always standing by the parish priest. So when I became a deacon, he told me to write my first sermon. I wrote it. I said, no, this is too watery. He said, it has no flesh in it. And I had to go back. And after the second draft, he said, no. And he took it and corrected it. And he told me that he would be there in church to listen to me. I was a bit scared.
Pressure.
Yes. But he was correct. You know, he was a disciplinarian. And it was his life, you know. So he was the one, you know, who helped me a lot.
So we can thank your father then if we decide that your preaching is good.
It's thanks to him in some ways. Yes.
Okay, so one thing that most people would not know about you.
This is a $1 million question. One thing that most people wouldn't know about me. I can say this. I have hardly discussed with many people, maybe just with one person, perhaps, indirectly. It is the fact that I do not love being a diplomat. Yes.
Why not?
No. I'm a diplomat today out of obedience. Today I love it. I would say so. Today I love it, being a representative of the Holy Father. But if I were to choose, I would prefer to be a poor parish priest lost in the village somewhere, forgotten, with the people, with my, you know, soiled fingers, you know, tilling the soil. I'm making my living from what I get from the soil also. This was my aim when I entered the seminary. I never realized it till today. Because a year after I was ordained a priest, I was told to go to Rome. I told the archbishop, I'm sorry, I never thought of it. I'm not prepared for it. He said, no, you obey. So I went to Rome. And I was to work in the courier for 2 years. And after those 2 years, I was told to enter the diplomatic service of the Holy See. And I told the Archbishop, he's now Cardinal Regali, I told him, I'm sorry, I didn't bargain with my bishop for this. He said, you have to obey. We have spoken with your bishop. I said, all right. I follow if it is the will of God. And he said, yes, it is the will of God. And you would ask me, how have I felt all these years, 34 years now? I think it is the will of God. I found joy in serving people, you know, through the diplomatic service of the Holy See as a nuncio. And I think I've touched many souls, very many souls, even without meeting them, through pieces of papers. Because behind every piece of paper that enters my office, there are many souls asking for justice, for compassion, or those who would like to see the Holy Father, or those who would like to be in contact with him in one way or the other. So if I facilitate this, I think I'm doing the will of God. Although it is, I'm still nostalgic to go back to the village.
And put your hands in the soil,
exactly.
As you say. Okay, you got a bonus question today now, Archbishop Jude, for saying yes to us, which is, how would you describe the spirit or Pope Francis's charism, who he is? How do you describe
him? That's great. That's my duty. That's my duty to know him and to talk about him, because I represent him, you know. And, first of all, I will say this. You know, we all know Pope Francis. Many of you know him better than I do, because many are closer to him. Although I have the capacity and the possibility to meet him. And I just came in from Rome about 2 weeks ago from a personal meeting with him, because he wanted to speak with me regarding many things. I don't need to go into details. However, I will say this about Pope Francis. He is someone, a great man, that leaves nobody indifferent. Small, great, whoever gets in contact with him, directly or indirectly, goes away touched in one way or the other. I say this because, you know, he has his own way, because he is sincere, he is honest, and he wants people to feel God, to feel the presence of God. And that is why he, you know, his policy is this loving kindness towards people. He wants to be loving to them. He wants to touch their wounds. He wants to help them heal their wounds. He wants to embrace them. And he wants people to know that God loves them. And especially the joy of knowing that God loves them. And it is wonderful, you know, the fact that you know that God loves you and that God takes care of you, no matter the situation. It's wonderful. And this is what Pope Francis wants us to know. Now, that is why he has such compassion. And he doesn't like people who are indifferent.
Well, please God, we'll get to see Pope Francis in Ireland, maybe.
Yes,
when the World Meeting of Families happens, we're praying that this might be a possibility. I've been chatting to Archbishop Jude Thaddeus O'Cola, who's a papal nuncio to Ireland, just in Ireland 3 months. And he's been our Life in Five guest this morning. Thank you so much for joining us on Spirit Radio this morning.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless you all.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.